Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 1 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation 15, 1 through 4. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Click subscribe in the iTunes or the Google Play Store to get this Bible study 5 days a week for your commute, workout, or wherever else you may listen. I want to encourage you to do something special with me over the next few weeks. Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, has asked us to pray to end Bible poverty worldwide. We need believers and unbelievers reading the Bible so they can know God. Would you consider praying to end Bible poverty on a weekly and daily basis? If you would, please go to endbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray. So let's go ahead and pray for that before we start. Lord, I ask that you would end Bible poverty worldwide. Would you cause people to begin reading your word on a daily basis? Would you provide your beautiful word to every tongue on earth? Raise up translators, messengers, missionaries, and workers for your global harvest through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just want to say something about that real quick. And one of the things that Lauren Cunningham talked about at a conference I went to with YWAM missionaries last week was, you know, that the word of God in people's native tongue precedes revival. It precedes awakening so often. So often, almost always, people do not come to know the Lord in mass unless they have the Bible and unless they're reading the Bible. And so having a physical written copy for people that are literate and having an audio Bible for people in cultures where they're oral cultures. Not everybody on planet Earth is literate. In fact, half the world is literate. The other half is illiterate, either literally or functionally illiterate. And so having the Bible in their language and in the way that they communicate is powerful for revival. So I want to encourage you, go to that inbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray, sign up to spread the word, because the word of God is so powerful. With that, let's go ahead and jump into the book of Revelation. I'm going to be reading today from the NIV. This is Revelation 15, 1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues. Last, because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who have been victorious over the beast and its image and over the number of its name. They held harps given to them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. So again, we're looking at a sign in heaven. And I think when John is seeing this marvelous sign, normally he's talking about some kind of astronomical event. Here, I don't know if he's seeing, you know, a sign where he's calling the angels stars or what he's seeing. I don't know why he's calling this a sign, because when we saw the angels that were holding the trumpets or the angels that are holding the the angels that are calling out to open the seals, you know, is all these things are happening before, John doesn't call them a sign. So I don't know why he's saying that this is a sign per se. I've never understood exactly why John is calling this a sign. It's very interesting to me, because this is the only thing where he's describing something literal that he's been seeing in the heavenlies as a sign. So it makes me wonder, is there more to this? You know, there's so many things. We saw the seven thunders where John wasn't allowed to write down what they were. And there's so many things in the book of Revelation that are like that, where we know that there's more coming. So is this an indication by John that there's more coming here? I don't know. I don't know why he's calling this a sign, but what we do know is he called it great and marvelous. Now, when we contemplate, as we read through this, what's going to happen, John calling this great and marvelous is a bit vexing. It's perplexing for many reasons. And again, this is going to us dealing with offense. Offense at what God is going to do here. If we're not offended by many of the things that are going on in the book of Revelation, I don't know if our hearts are too callous or if, if we're just not reading it correctly. But when I read these things, there's an immediate offense that rises up in my spirit. And I know countless other people who cannot deal with the offense that they receive from the book of Revelation, because they've been taught their whole life that God is this loving, gentle God, and he would never do anything to harm anyone because he's so loving. And it's hard for them to reconcile that a loving God would actually step up and kill people, that he would actually bring torment to people, like what's being shown here, or what we're about to be shown in the bowls. And again, I encourage you to read the book of Revelation once a week for these 10 weeks that we're going through this. If you have, you've already read this multiple times. You've been over this multiple times. This is when week 8 now, so you should have already had the opportunity to read this 7 or 8 times if you're tracking along with us. And you've read these bowl judgments that many times so far, and you've probably thought about them and pondered them and been perplexed over them. How could this loving God do this? How can John call these bowls great and marvelous? Why are all of these saints joining with the heavenlies in singing the song that great and marvelous are your deeds? How can we say that God is great for doing these things? How can we say it's marvelous? There's something going on here that we need desperately to understand. If we're to not be offended in the days when this comes, and trust me, it would be so much better for you to be honest. If you are offended by this, it's so much better to be offended and be honest about it now. Be honest with that offense right now than to not deal with it and wait. If you are one of those people that will go through this time period, you don't want to deal with your offense then. You don't want to get to know the God who will execute his wrath and vengeance on the wicked of the earth. You don't want to get to know him in the midst of these trials. You want to know him as that now. You want to know him as Jesus, the dying lamb, and as Jesus as the triumphant warrior all at the same time. You want to know him as he truly is, not as you want him to be. Get to know God as he truly is now, before it's too late, before your offense will cause you to fall away and reject him because he's not what you thought he was, or he's not who you wanted him to be, or what you were taught incorrectly in Sunday school or whatever. You know, we tend to sanitize things. You know, we tend to Disneyify things. You know, when we look at all of the fables and fairy tales that Disney has represented in their movies, many times they were very tragic. They would tell stories of real life where not everybody lived, and not everybody lived happily ever after. And Disney changed all those stories to where everything has a happily ever after. And that's kind of how we operate as American Christians in the West, is we want that happily ever after. But that's not really the case. We know that's not real life, but it's how we want the Bible to shape up. So we fashion the stories. Disney actually changed all of those fairy tales to give them this happily ever after ending. And that's not really how most of the stories went. And we are so used to changing things to make them happy and nice and pleasant. And that's not always the way it is. So we need to understand God as he truly is, not as we want him to be. A God of our own creation is no God at all. It's an idol. And so I encourage you, if you have created an idol, a false idol God, a God who is who you want him to be, not who he truly is, I encourage you to throw it out. Destroy that idol in your mind. This is an opportunity for us to get to know God as he truly is. And that's not to say that God isn't a loving God. No, we know that he's a loving God. And so we have to reconcile, how is God a loving God? And yet we can sing that great and marvelous are your deeds, when his deeds are going to be to kill and torment people. How do we reconcile those things? That's what we have to wrestle with. I believe if you listen to my study or read the study on the book of John that we did, John, the same author here, he gives us paradoxes. He's trying to perplex us with who Jesus is. He wants to cast down every false notion of who Jesus is so that we will get rid of all these false idols and we will know Jesus as he truly is. That's what the book of John is about. In the book of Revelation, John is again doing the same thing. He wants to give us Jesus as he really is. He wants us to know God as he truly is, not as we want him to be. And so it's critically important that we study this book, we read this book, we familiarize ourselves with God as he truly is, not the idol that we're likely to create in our minds. And I guarantee you that every one of us, myself included, it's a struggle that we all have because we're human. We want to fashion a God in our own image. We want to make him like us. Because when we make him like us, it's easy for us to kind of fudge the rules a little bit, to kind of, you know, change things to suit us. Because if God is like us, then we can kind of create these rules where we're better than we actually are. And the truth is we are wretched, horrible, rebellious sinners that deserve death. And only by the blood of Jesus, only by his sacrifice on the cross are we made righteous. And when we understand that, we can begin to deal with our offenses. We can begin to look at this book and deal with those offenses and join in with this song and say, "Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations." I think that's an important phrase in this song. Just and true are your ways. That is how we deal with the offense, I believe, is coming to understand that this is God's justice. God is exacting justice on the earth. Many people ask the question, you know, why do good people suffer? Why is there suffering in the world? Why do bad things happen to good people? And it brings us around to that question, is, are there really good people? We look at them as good. We say, well, you know, they do nice things. They're good people. They don't cheat on their taxes. In reality, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, so we assume that people are good a lot of times. But even when they are good by our own estimation, they're not good by God's estimation. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We've all sinned. We are not good. We are bad. And only by the blood of Jesus are we made righteous. So when God is exacting his vengeance, when he's giving justice, he is giving people exactly what they deserve for their sins. We are the ones that he treats unjustly. We are the ones that are getting better than what we deserve. We are the ones who come before the judge of all the world, of all mankind, and he doesn't give us justice. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He gives us better. We are the ones he treats unjustly. Because of the blood of his son. And because of the blood of his son, we are reckoned to him as righteousness forever. Our sins are forever washed away. And he is just and true in all of his ways. So when he judges the people of the earth, he is just and true. And all these nations will come and worship before him. Because his righteous acts will be revealed. In what we're about to read this week, God's righteous acts will be revealed. We're going to see that even the angels stutter at some of the things that God is going to release. But they're his righteous acts. He is just and true in doing them. And I encourage you, if what we read this week causes you offense, deal with it now. Go to God with that offense. Don't let it turn you away, and don't wait until it's too late to deal with it. Deal with it now. Go to God and say, "Who are you that you are just and true? Teach me. How can I know you as just and true? How can I honor you as just and true. I want to see you. I want to see your great and marvelous deeds, God. I want to join in this song. And if your offense keeps you from joining in this song, I encourage you, go to God. Deal with that offense so that you can join in with this song on that day. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to the 10 Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's the number one way to help other people find out about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10 Week Bible Podcast.